Amen. Galatians chapter 4, if you turn there, please. Galatians chapter 4. We took a week off this week. I got my bathroom painted. Okay. What's the old saying? It took me all day what I used to do all day long. Okay. Little bitty bathroom took me all day to work on that. And I did more than just paint it. I patched some areas and things like that. And painted some doors and trim and this and that. So and actually it spilled over into our bedroom. So it actually took me 2 days to do all that. But I didn't, we didn't have church midweek. But I did what we do on Christmas Day. I had all my family there. Boy, it's good to have all the kids there and all the grandkids. And we just opened up our Bibles and we read scriptures and we talked about the Lord and we prayed as a family. And that's how you're supposed to start it out. Amen. God will bless the rest of it, but you give Him what's first. And not bragging, it just was a blessing that we did that. And I didn't do any Bible study, didn't record any Watchman broadcast, and no online shows or anything like that. I've just been studying a little bit and reading scripture and just praying. I was actually praying all week long about what to preach. And I've been reading a few things kind of over and over again. Just kind of God led me that way. And I thought, well, maybe I'll just preach what I've been reading because that's what's fresh in my mind. So we're going to be in Galatians chapter 4, and I don't know where the Lord's going to take it. He said, preach the word. And that's what I'm going to do. And he told his disciples there, he told them, you know, in the last days, they're going to come and get you. And he said, don't think about what you're going to say. He said, just let the Holy Spirit lead. And I do have some notes. I've got some scriptures we're going to go to, but I'm going to let the Spirit lead on how he directs the service. I don't have an agenda. I didn't say, now, if I do it this way, I can get so many people at the altar. I quit doing that a long time ago. I'm more interested in what God does in your life and in your family a year from now and 5 years from now than what you decide to do at the end of my service. And so whatever God does is up to Him. I will say something to you this morning. I had it in my mind to preach a really mean sermon, and I'm not joking either. It was going to be mean. It was going to rip the hide off of some of you. And it was just based on some things that I know is going on. And I love you. I love this church. I love everybody here. I love you all the same. And I thank God for you all the time. It's my job every now and then to pull out the paddle. That's my job. I don't like it. It's like having to whip your kids. I don't like whipping my kids. Most of the time I didn't like whipping my kids. But there's just been some issues on my heart. And I just had it in my mind this morning I was going to deal with it, and it just seemed like God said, no, just pull back. So I'm trusting God that He's got a different way of dealing with it. But you probably have no idea what I'm talking about, and that's fine. Or you may all be sitting here going, what does He know about me? That's fine too. Okay? And I want to, as a church, I want us to pray about us, about our church, and what God wants to do, and what He needs to do, what He needs to do in me, what He needs to do in you. Is that fair enough? See, every now and then God will hit me and I'll have to say some things. But I've always thought it's better to let God deal with it and let God have it and let God handle it, because usually I'll mess it up, make a big mess out of it. And so I've just learned a lot of times I'm going to let God have it. And so far, that's what He's leading me to do. But I want you to know that there's been some people here all this week. I've been praying for you all this week. And I love you dearly. Okay? But God just kind of held me back from that. So I'm just going to kind of go line upon line, precept upon precept, down the scriptures this morning. This is what's been in my heart. Hope this will help you. And it help you get some understanding from the Bible. It'd be a blessing to you for you to understand God's ways. I believe in the simplicity in Christ. I believe that the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I believe, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I believe if you'll hang on to that and believe in that and trust in that, God will save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that simple. It is. It is that simple. Once you become a Christian and you want to live the way God's lived, the instruction part takes over. God wants to teach you his ways. We're here to learn about God's righteousness and God. How does God's salvation work? How is it applied? How this and that and the other. And so that's a lot of what the Bible's for. It's teaching us great and mighty things that we know not. And so in Galatians chapter 4, I want us to read the Word of God. You believe the Bible this morning, say amen. Okay, you should. It's a good book to believe in and trust in it, all right? Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. And I want you to think about the application of that in your life. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Think about that. Think about there is a time appointed of the Father. Verse 3, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time, that's what it said, the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Everything about Christ's birth, Mary taking him to the temple with the offering, everything about that was the law, the law, the law. The days of Mary's purification was done according to the law, and the law had a purpose. Christ's life was all about the law of God, honoring the law, keeping the law. He never transgressed one time. I find that impossible to do in my life. I transgress the law. I'm not proud of it, not boasting about it. I hate it, but that's what I do. Christ never did, and yet he was made not above the law. You know how we think some politicians and some people think they're above the law? He was not made above the law. He was made under the law, but he was made that way for a reason. And in verse 5, he says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. I want you to think about what that means. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Abba is not a European rock group. Some of you are going, Abba means daddy. Daddy. You never called your father, father. Never did. What'd you call him? Dad, pop, daddy, papa. That's what you called him. You were personal with him. He knew you, and you knew him, and you looked up to him. You wanted to walk in his footsteps and follow in his ways. On my wall in my office, there's a whole wall dedicated to my daddy and how he worked and what he did. And I wanted to follow in my dad's footsteps. That's what I wanted to do. And God, my heavenly Father, called me in a different direction. But he puts his Spirit in your hearts. And God is no longer this impersonal, faraway entity that's angry with you every 5 seconds. He is your dad. He is your Abba. And the Spirit that God put in you testifies of that, that you are a son of God. So he says in verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. Now I want you to think of, and what I'm going to be talking about, I know for today And this will spill out, I don't know how long, until God moves me in a different direction. I wanted to start preaching through the book of Galatians, and I did a little bit, and that never worked out. But I've just been in Galatians a lot, and I've been reading this chapter over and over, and just kind of comprehending it, kind of getting it. And I want to talk this morning about the heir and the inheritance. The heir and the inheritance. And I guess we could say what role that plays in what we think of as salvation. What role the idea of an heir and an inheritance plays in our salvation. So I want us to pray about it. Ask God to help us this morning. We're going to go through the scriptures this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for your kindness to me. I thank you, Lord God, for the wisdom and the amazing grace, Lord, that is in this book and in this word. Lord, even though sometimes I'll struggle, Lord, with what to preach, Lord, I know, God, I've never run out of things to preach on, never run out of issues to talk about, never run out, Lord, of good things and even chastisements, Lord, to give to myself and to other people, Lord, because this Bible is infinite. It never ends. It always keeps on going. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for the value of this book and how precious it is to me as a preacher. Lord, you have made my burden easy and my load light because of how this book is built. And Lord, I just pray, dear God, that you would bless the preaching of your word. Lord, this may end up being my worst effort at being a preacher. But I'm asking you, God, Lord, to bless even my worst efforts in a great fashion, Lord. There are people sitting here this morning, Lord, that maybe need something that you're going to say to them, and I pray, God, that you would say it. They may be people listening and watching, Lord, that need to hear something from the Word of God this morning. They need you to rise and give us bread. And I'm asking, Heavenly Father, for you to do that today. So, Lord God, would you bless your Word as you promised you would? Would you magnify your Word far above your name? And, Father, Lord, may we leave out of here knowing, God, that we have visited with God Himself through the Holy Ghost and through the Word of God this morning. Just bless and honor your Word, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. I mentioned some verses a while ago about being saved. How are we going to go from, if I were to ask everybody, where do you want to go when you die? You want to go to hell or you want to go to heaven? I'm sure I would get, hopefully, from everybody here this morning, I want to go to heaven when I die. There are ways that God has for that, and there's actually a plan in place, and God does things for us so that we receive heaven or eternal life as an eternal blessing or as an eternal gift or reward from God. We believe in this church, and most, I would say probably most of Protestant groups say that they believe this, although that's coming in doubt in my mind when I hear some of the preachers preach nowadays and what they're talking about. But we believe, according to the Scripture, exactly what Paul said in Ephesians, for by grace are ye saved through faith and not of works. We do not believe that you perform an action, that you pay some money, that you do some things in the church, or that you keep commandments, or that you live a good life, or whatever. We do not believe that those things are given, that is how we have eternal life. In other words, when God promises to give you life in heaven for all of eternity, with the streets of gold and the gates of pearl and the mansions and the presence of God and the river of life flowing and all of those things that He promised to give you, they are given to you as a totally free gift that is based upon nothing that you have done in yourself. Can I get an amen out of God's people? Is that what you believe? Let's look at the story of the prodigal son. When he is gone away from his father, he spends his inheritance. He has absolutely nothing left to bring back. His clothes are tattered probably. He ends up feeding slop to hogs. That's what he's... By the way, that's what the name Hoggard means. I didn't know if you knew that. We were the guard of the hogs. Okay? But he's out there feeding swine. He has no money. He is so hungry that he wants to eat the slop that the hogs are feeding on. And hogs can eat some pretty rotten slop. If you've ever known anything about that, they can eat some pretty nasty stuff. And he is so hungry that he wants to eat from them. When he decides to go back to his father, he says in his mind, if I go back and be a servant to my father, my father's servants have it better than what I have it right now. He is willing to go back to his father and just be a servant. Work for his dad, live in the slave quarters, but at least he'll get three hots and a cot at the end of the day, and he knows that. And he's willing to have that for the rest of his life. But when he goes back to his father, what does he get from his father? Based upon nothing whatsoever that the son did. The son took his portion of his dad's wealth and squandered it. It's gone. It's never coming back. So he goes back to his father. What does he receive from his father? He receives a new robe. That's a picture of the robe of righteousness that was put on us by Christ, because you and I have no robes of righteousness to wear. All of our robes are as filthy rags in God's sight. Can I get an amen out of God's people? Somebody here, wake up and say amen. Because you just get this. His father puts a new robe upon him, covers him in his glory and in his blessing. He puts shoes on his feet and has his feet shod with what? The gospel of Jesus Christ. And he puts a ring on his finger, a sign of she owns me. Amen? She owns me. She's got my ring on her. I own her. That's what that's a symbol of. It's a symbol of ownership. The father does all of this for the son based upon what? Not anything that the son did. In fact, the son dishonored his own father. His father gave it to his son on nothing more than his father's love for his son. That's grace. Don't talk to me and tell me and brag to me about what you do that you didn't used to do and about what you don't do that you used to do. I mean, I don't mind hearing testimonies about how God cleaned up your life, but I'm here to tell you that your life when you got saved was nothing. Now that you are saved and the things and the good things that are happening in your life, they are still given to you without your merit or your works. Can I get an amen? Amen. We are not just, well, I came down the altar and got saved, and that was by grace through faith and not of works. But then I've been around long enough to see it evolve. I used to believe this. I used to have it in my life. I've seen it in churches. I've seen it in movements. I've seen it all over the place where people will say, well, I do this and I do that. And because I do this and because I live this way and because I think this way, therefore God blesses me because I'm doing this. Let me tell you how wrong you are in thinking that if you have God's grace and his blessings on you right now, if you can stop and as we sing, count your blessings, name them one by one. You got a nice wife, you got a nice husband, you got kids, you got a car, you got gas in the car, you got heat in the house, you got clothes to wear, you got food in the pantry, you got a little money coming in. All of those things that you have are still given to you by grace and not by your works. Amen. So how can you say that, Pastor? Ezekiel 33. God says, in the day that a righteous man transgresses, all of his righteousnesses are gone. His righteousnesses. All of his good deeds are over. They're gone. So even if you were nice for a whole day, the next day when you're not nice, and let's be realistic. Let's say that you come in. Let's say that I come in one day here, and I'm all nice to Gary and Kay and Alicia and Courtney, and I'm nice to the babies, and I'm just nice to every Mr. Nice Guy. And I come in here, and I feel real good that I didn't abuse anybody today, Jared. I come in the next day and I'm grumpy and I yell at Alicia and I yell at the kids and Gary did this and I yelled at him and I did all this stuff and I thought evil thoughts about everybody that works here, including Rose. That's a bad day. When you think bad about Rose, that's bad. And I'm being mean to everybody, which I don't like. Do you think that it matters to them how I was yesterday? The moment your eyes fix upon something that you covet after, the moment your brain entertains a thought that transgresses the law of God, everything that you think you did right is gone in that instant. Don't tell me how good you are. Don't give me your resume. And you know what a resume is, don't you? You filled out a resume, Brady? Brady reads resumes and applications all the time. Nobody ever puts in there, I've been in jail 6 times. I've only worked 10 places in the past, and I got fired from all 10 of them. Nobody ever puts that on there, do they? They put how good they are. Nobody ever puts down people for references that hate them. Nobody ever does that. So don't tell me your resume. Don't fill out your application. Don't tell me how good you are. Because you're not. And you need to get over that. Can I hear God's people say amen? That's grace. When you're given, when you sit and you think about what you have in your hands right now, think about whatever money you've got in the bank, whether it's a lot or a little. Think about the bed you have to sleep in. Your bed feels good, doesn't it, Mick? Okay? See, we've Americanized that boy. And then he grew up in the sticks in Kenya. And they got furniture out there. It's like the Flintstone furniture. It's hard. Okay, it's not American-style stuff, and they love it. But he comes over here, and he gets used to America, and he goes back to Kenya, and he says, I'm going to come back to America because I like my bed. Amen? So he's got a nice, soft bed to sleep in with his wife next to his side, and he has these children, and we have food to eat, and we have warm houses in the morning, and we have all of this stuff, and I promise you, and if you say, well, I got this by my job and I got this because I did this and I worked hard for this, God can take all of that away just like that. Ever had it happen before? But when he gives stuff back to you, you know why he does it to you? By grace, not by your works. And I'm saying all that to say this. When you study the idea of an heir and the inheritance, don't think of the oldest son, who was the prodigal son's brother. Think of the prodigal son being you. And the prodigal son, when he came back, was not given the office of a servant, was he? His father proclaimed, "This is my son." He puts shoes on his feet, a robe on his shoulders, and a ring on his finger, and he prepares a feast for his son. And the older son, how did he feel about that, DB? He was ticked off. I've been around here all this time, and I've served you. And he was all full of I. And he didn't see it the way Daddy saw it. The way Daddy saw it, my son was lost. And now he's found. He was dead, and now he's alive again. I'm throwing my son a feast. Deal with it. Go get a calf ready, son. This is what we're doing. Because, see, let me just say this. The people who think they do a lot always are angry at the people who don't do very much at all. As if this deserves more than this. And you know what? Realistically, I guess you could say that it does. But when God decides to love people and call them his sons, he loves them all equally. Is there an amen there? He loves them equally without works. That's what, and so let's read this again in Galatians 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. In other words, a son born in this, let's say this wealthy man's house, he is going to end up being the Lord over the manor and the estate. But while he's a child, he is no different than the servant children. The servant children and the Lord child, he's under tutors and governors, which means that he'll get a spanking just like everybody else does. He'll get treated just like everybody else does. He will be disciplined the way everybody else does. He's treated that way as a child. But eventually, he is going to be Lord of all. Now, I believe that you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ and in his word, we're going to come back with Jesus for 1,000 years and literally be Lord of all with Christ. Is that what you believe? Say amen. That's cool. How did we get that? Not by works. So he says, but as under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. This is why the King James is right in John 3:16. And the NIV and the Message Bible and the New American Standard, they're all wrong. The King James says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Christ is the only one begotten of the Father. The NIV says his one and only Son. That is not true. It's a lie. It's a mistake. Jesus is not the only Son. God now has many sons. How? We were adopted. We were brought in from the outside. We were brought in from the cold and from terrible places and brought into a family that now loves us. And now we have a father, whereas before we didn't have a father. Is this good so far? Amen. That's who we are. The adoption of sons. Verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. God bless you guys. I'm going to show you what this looks like. Take your Bible, turn back to Genesis 15. There's always a picture of the doctrine. God's going to show you what this looks like, all right? Genesis chapter 15. This is about the inheritance. What is the inheritance? What is it? What is going to be at the end of your life or my life, and how do I get it? And I always, if you'll just go back and listen to things I've preached for the last 5-10 years, I preach that God's grace and his gift is always free. Free. You know why it is free? Because you can't pay the cost. So it has to be free. I took Sweetie Pie, you're turning to Genesis 15. I took Sweetie Pie around a little bit Thursday, but Friday, after Christmas. Used to be, back in the old days, back when we were kids, Lisa would get up early the day after Christmas because these stores were going to open up and get rid of all that junk that they had that they didn't sell, and she knew there was bargains out there. Because why? They were practically going to give this old, you know, wrapping, Christmas wrapping paper. You know what she'd do? She'd buy it the day after Christmas and put it away somewhere, and she had it for next year. Smart. I wait until December 23rd to buy the stuff, okay? But she doesn't. So that's what they used to do. They used to just practically give this stuff away. Now we're going around all over the place, and we can't find a store, Jan, that has the Christmas stuff out the day after Christmas. I don't know what they did with it. sent back to China or whatever, but it's gone. Okay? Huh? They store it? They found out your secret, sweetie pie. They're one up on you. But you see, they used to charge a lot of money for this stuff. People didn't buy it. So now the stores figured, if we just practically give it away, we'll get rid of it and get it off the shelves. But I guess they figured out that it's cheaper to store it and save it for the next year and sell it for the high price. I guess that's what they figured out. I don't know. But here's my point. God had salvation, and it was for a price. And you could not, cannot, nor will you ever be able to pay the price. You don't have it. And if you don't have it, you never will have it. That's how much it cost. So God just decided to give it away for free. And that's what he did. So he mentions back here in Galatians about not being a servant, but a son. And I want you to follow this, because Abraham, even though he had received in Genesis 12 the blessing of the inheritance, he was given the promise in Genesis 12. Even though Abraham, as of Genesis 12, his name was not even Abraham then, it was Abram. Genesis 12, God gives him a promise that the whole world is going to be blessed by his seed, literally his DNA, his offspring. Abram doesn't have any offspring. He doesn't have any children. Genesis 13, after Lot chooses the well-watered plains of Sodom, God took Abram and he turned him northward, southward, eastward, and westward, the four directions, and he said, everything that your eyes have set on, I'm going to give that to you. By the way, east is always a straight line. So is west. There is no end to west. There is no end to north and south. It keeps going. And he sees everything in a straight line, and God says, that's what I am going to give you. So now Genesis 15 comes around. Abram still does not have a son from his body, from his loins. So he has already reckoned and decided that when he dies, his servant is going to receive his inheritance, because he has no son. Here's what God did for Abram. And this is what God said to Abram. Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord. You know what that, whenever you read that phrase in your Bible, that means your Bible. Amen? Whenever in doubt, you need the Bible. You need the word of the Lord. So he says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Underline that passage in your Bible. Make a note of it. Jot it down somewhere. Print it out. Put it somewhere. Put it anywhere where you're going to see it. There are people who will try to tell you that some people in heaven get a bigger or greater reward than other people in heaven do. And I'm telling you, that is not true. It's not true. I don't care if you amen it or not. There is one reward in heaven. It is the Lord. That's your reward. Do we not go around telling everybody, man, if I've got Jesus, I got everything? Do we not mean that? Because I'm telling you, if you've got Jesus, you've got everything. I went through this issue biblically. I didn't read somebody's books. I didn't go to somebody's seminar. I didn't attend the Bible college. I read the scriptures looking for, this person's going to get more than this person does because this person did more than this person. That's what some are teaching. And I'm telling you, it's not true. When you and I get to heaven, we will receive Him. What else is there? Let me give you an illustration that Jesus taught. Remember the story in the Bible? I don't have the scripture in front of me. You remember the story in the Bible where Jesus was teaching His doctrine? And He said a farmer, a husbandman, had field work to do, and he put a call out, and some guys showed up third hour in the morning, showed up 6 o'clock in the morning. He said, "What's the wages?" "Well, we're paying you a penny." "Okie dokie." So they go out and start working. Well, there's not enough out there. The call goes out again, noontime. The guys come in at noon. "So you got work?" "Yeah, I got work." What's the pay?" "Penny." "Penny for a day." So they go out and they work. Still not enough out there. He calls some other guy. They come in. "What's the pay?" "A penny." So they said, "Okay, we'll work that." They worked until dark. And when they all come in at the same time. And the guy was giving out a penny to everybody that worked. And the guys that started at 6 a.m., they were ticked. They said, "That's not fair. You're paying them the same amount as you paid us, and we've been out here longer." And the husbandman said, "Did not I agree with you to work for a penny?" "Yeah. What did I pay you?" "A penny." "That's what you get." And listen, I'm telling you, I've been with people within days and months of their death. And I've known their lives. They were the worst people you could ever imagine on this planet. And they got saved before they died. I'm telling you, I hope they get everything. Because that's what it's about. And I just don't like a doctrine that puts this man above this man. That ain't right. It's not biblical, and it's not right. Your reward, you know what your inheritance is? Your inheritance is the same one that Paul got. The Lord. If we are all of the faith of Abraham, and that's where all this teaching goes. If we are all of the faith of Abraham, then we, like Abraham, receive one reward: God. He said, "Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abraham said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house, this Eliezer of Damascus?" He had already named Eliezer, his steward, as his heir. But Eliezer was a slave, a servant. That's just like the teaching between Hagar and Sarah. Abraham has a child from Hagar, but that child is doomed because he is born of bondage. And so here's the problem. And so verse 3, "And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in mine house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." Now, I want you to stop right here. I want you to get this. As of this time, Isaac had not even been conceived. He had not been born. He was still in the bowels of Abram. And yet God, at this time, has already given the inheritance to Isaac. What did Isaac do or perform to receive this inheritance? Nothing. He was not even born yet. He had done, and Paul teaches this with Jacob and Esau. Jacob had already been chosen to receive the inheritance, and Esau had been rejected, and God had done this before they were even born. Before either one of them could do any right or any wrong, they had already been chosen in God to receive that inheritance. And I'm here to tell you that your heavenly home awaits you as your inheritance, based upon nothing that you have done or will do. That's what it says. It's what it teaches. So, verse 5, "And he brought him forth abroad, and said, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." A guy about 400 or 500 years ago thought he was going to be real smart, Ken, and he set about to come up with a number for all the stars that he could see at night. I don't remember what he came up, like 1,500, 2,000, something like that, that he could count, that he could see in the night sky. That's what he came up with. And everybody's going, "Oh, wow, you know, that's a lot." So now we sent Hubble up to space, and now we're seeing galaxies that we've never seen before that have an untold amount of stars in there, and there's an untold number of the galaxies in the universe, and we don't have a clue how many stars there are out there. Not the first clue. And you know what God said? "I'm going to make your seed," watch this now, "as them." Do you know what stars are in the Bible? Angels. Jesus himself said that in the resurrection, ye will be as the angels. We will be part of the heavenly host. And God, that's what I think he's getting at here. Your seed is going to be as the stars of heaven, so shall thy seed be. And watch this now, verse 6, right here. "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for" what? "Righteousness." What is that teaching you? And by the way, this is Genesis 15. Abram has not even had his name changed yet. He is not yet Abraham. Did you ever notice that Isaac was not born or conceived until after God changed his name to Abraham? Ishmael had born. Isaac was born after Abraham had been circumcised. Ishmael was born before Abraham had been circumcised. And there's a teaching there. But God has given his blessing to Abraham even before his name was changed and even before he was circumcised. Because God told Abram, on the eighth day, anybody that's born in your house is to be circumcised, and all the males of your household, whether they're servants or not, any male that is part of your household has to be circumcised. And so Abraham did what God told him to do. But as of right here, God has not even told him that. God just simply, he gave a promise to Abram. And Abram was looking at those stars. And the word of the Lord is coming to Abram. And Abram is hearing, "Abram, see all these stars? That's the number. If you can be able to number the stars, that's how much your seed is going to be. That's how many people you're going to have in your family." And that number was even to him so astronomical that he could not even conceive it. And yet, he believed it. And let me say this to you, give you something real simple. Don't fret and worry about all the things that you don't understand about the Bible. Over time, God gives you greater understanding. How many of you would say amen to that? Sure he does. Every time you read it, you learn a little bit more. Don't fret and worry about what you don't understand about the Scriptures. I have been this week reading some things I haven't read in a while in the Scriptures. And I did. I sat back and I kind of pushed my Bible back in anger. And I said, "God, I don't understand that. I never understood that. And I don't get it." God's not casting me out. He's not throwing me in jail and throwing away the keys. I just simply said, "God, I don't understand that, and I would really like to understand that. I'd like to know what that means." Abraham, there's no way he could have conceived in his mind how big that was. But he still believed it. I believe in God the Father, God the Word, and God the Holy Ghost. I may not be able to explain it. I may not be able to describe it very well. But I believe it. And if you don't comprehend great and big thoughts from the Bible, don't let that bother you. Do you believe what God said? Abraham, where's Abraham right now? Where is Abraham right now? He's in heaven. He was set free when Christ went down and preached. How did he get there? He believed God. Even if he didn't comprehend it, he believed what God said. And God took exactly what the prodigal son's father did with his son. He put a robe on him that was his own righteousness, the father's righteousness. He put a robe on him and covered up all of his transgressions. Abraham was a sinner. You believe the Bible? You believe that? He was a sinner. He was a liar. And not good at it, because he got caught twice doing it. He was a liar. And yet God took a robe of righteousness and covered up all of his transgressions. And Abraham is in heaven right now and received what was northward, southward, eastward, and westward. He received that as his gift of his inheritance for doing nothing but believing what God said. So, I don't know how this helps you. Let me say this. I as I mentioned earlier, I've been a little bugged this week over just a few little things in this church. That's my job. I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to get bugged over stuff. And I think, boy, you know, whatever. You know what I know about you people? Chris, I like you. Chris comes in here a couple weeks ago, tells everybody right off the bat what kind of sorry, rotten, lowlife he is. But first time I met him out in the parking lot, I had my gun ready. I'm not kidding you. Because at that time, people were looking for me. And I didn't know who he was. And he told me who he was. He told me what he was dealing with. Chris, you believe the Bible? Yeah, I do. Hang on to that. Don't ever let that go. You may or may not be able to endure and deal with a lot of things in this life. You may not be able to handle the pressure and the temptations of this world and the sins of this world. You may not be able to understand the deep prophetic insights. You may not be able to understand the New World Order. You may not be able to understand the deep levels of the doctrines of God and how it all works and applies. But do you believe what God said? Will you believe what God said? That's how anybody from Adam. You believe Adam's in heaven? I do. You know why? God clothed him. Anybody that God clothed, I get it. God imputed righteousness to Abraham. Everybody from Adam to us here, when we see them in heaven, they will have gotten there by nothing but the grace of God through faith. Don't stop believing this book, people. Hang on to it, because there will be a day when it's all you've got. Trust me on that one. It'll do you some good. Stand to your feet.